And here we are, guys. We have our first sponsor of In the Booth. And I couldn't be more excited because this is a company and a brand that I've used for a while now. We got AG1, and it's a nutritional supplement that I take every single morning, all right? I feel overall better health, mental clarity. It helps with my digesting. And the best part is that it's just one drink that you take. So you don't have to take a whole bunch of different supplements. This has all types of great stuff. I love it. You should try it out. AG1. I take it every single morning. And if you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and five AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/booth. That's with two O's. That's drinkag1.com/booth. Check it out. I promise you're going to love it, and get excited for this all new episode of In the Booth. Welcome back to In the Booth. I'm Sean Booth, and thank you guys for tuning in today. Wherever you're listening, we appreciate the love. We appreciate the support. Make sure you give us all the stars, any reviews you want. You can tell us if you hate Sam Cat or you love her. We already know that that's the biggest debate on Instagram right now. And there she is, setting up the scene today across from us in the love seat. I actually told her about 2 hours ago that we were recording this. I forgot to tell her, but she made time for us. She came running in here right at the buzzer. Hmm. And today, folks, she's wearing some flip-flops, blue jeans, holes. She's got a Rolling Stones t-shirt, and she's got a gold chain. That thing's pretty thick over there. We got Chain Cat in the building.
Chain Cat, I'll take it. You know what? I'm just happy to be here. And I got to say, I'm feeling a hell of a lot better than I was last time we were doing this situation. Last time I was looking at you from this couch.
Oh, the night before was your birthday party.
Yeah. So I was just like slowly developing a hangover as we were recording. And I was fighting for my life to not be dramatic about it, but I feel a lot better today. Happy to be here.
And I've known you for 5 years. That was one of the worst I've seen you after a night of drinking. And we've had a lot of those.
Listen,
like hard.
You know what? You're not wrong. I think I was a little out of drinking shape, and also I'm old now. So I think things have changed, but don't worry. I'll still practice.
Well, you're old. Thank you for coming, for showing up. And to my left today in the hot seat, a very special guest. He is the captain of the MLS soccer team right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And he was a starting defender for our country, the USA, in the World Cup just this past year. And he just welcomed his second baby to his beautiful family. Give it up for Walker Zimmerman.
Hey.
Wow.
Quite the introduction. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Are you getting any sleep right now?
All things considered, not too bad.
Yeah.
I think you hear the horror stories, and we've avoided those. So I'm probably went from like 8 to 9 hours to like 6 to 7, which is super manageable right now.
That's good. What do you think the biggest difference is with the second baby?
Oh,
a lot of people are just like, they feel a lot more at ease. They're not as worried, not as nervous. Is
that
true?
Yeah, definitely all those things. With the second, you're just walking around. I mean, you're holding them like a football. You're just like flipping them around. You're burping them. You're just like, yeah, no problem. And the first one, I'm like, is the neck okay? Like, oh my gosh, Sally, I don't know. It's like he's peeing or now she's peeing. And yeah, so the second, I'm just like, I'm chilling.
Yeah, because everybody keeps asking me, they're like, are you ready? I'm like, no, I'm not ready. I don't feel like anybody is ever ready.
No, you're not. And honestly, like, it might be different for people, but I never realized like the severity of the situation until I was in the hospital. You know, I'm not carrying around the baby for 9 months. I'm just kind of like, oh, how are you feeling, babe? Like, you doing well? And then by the time we're at the hospital, I'm like, all right, I'm about to have a kid, and things are about to heat up a little bit. So that's when it really sinks in for me.
Yeah, I said that this past week too. I told someone, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to actually realize I'm having a baby until I'm holding the baby.
No, you're not. You're not. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And that's okay. You heard it. Walker said it's fine. So I'm good with that. What is the age difference now between your first and second?
It's about 26 months. I don't know when you stopped doing the whole months calculation with ages.
I think it's 2 years.
Years is like the cutoff. So yeah, 2 years apart.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And the difference in, I mean, you probably don't know personality wise. I'm like, the baby is fresh, like 2 weeks now.
Yeah. 2 weeks. I guess almost 3 weeks.
Okay.
But nah, it's so weird that calculating the ages, weeks, the months, the days, just a little complicated.
Yeah.
But no, she's doing great. Belle is amazing. Tucker's been a great big brother. Loves her. Wants to hold her all the time. Give her kisses. Sing to her at night. I mean, he's killing the big bro game for sure.
That's awesome. I feel like people who've made those Instagram photos where you lay the baby down on a blanket and then you have the month and then the day, mm-hmm. I feel like they're crushing it, Sam Cat.
They're crushing it?
Yeah, money-wise. I feel like I see that everywhere.
Oh, for sure. Are you going to be that dad? Okay.
Probably.
I was going to say, before I even finished asking you the question, I knew the answer. I think that you're going to have a photo shoot for like every month that your child is alive.
Yeah. Well, Dre is a professional photographer.
That works out well for you.
So that's going to be nice. You grew up with siblings?
I did, yeah. Two older brothers.
Okay. So you're the baby?
I'm the baby.
I'm the baby, but I have two older sisters. I feel like that's a very different dynamic.
I would imagine so.
Were you getting beat up and thrown around or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little bit. But yeah. We were honestly like, we were super competitive, but we weren't very like physical in terms of the fights.
Okay.
You know, so our fights would be like storming off inside because we lost in a pickup basketball game.
Okay.
It wouldn't be like, I'm going to wrestle you and knock you out.
So sports have always been a part of your life growing up.
100%. That's all I know, really, is growing up looked like getting home from school. And we had not only my brothers, but everyone in our neighborhood. They were all older than me. A lot of boys. And pretty much every one of them went to play a collegiate sport. And so we would finish school and we'd go play every single sport you can think of. Whether it was baseball, basketball, even like roller hockey in the street, football, anything. Actually, everything except for soccer, ironically.
Really?
Because you don't really have like the field space, you know?
Yeah.
We live like near a cul-de-sac, so that was perfect for a lot of the other things. But yeah, not a lot of pickup soccer, but a lot of pickup everything else.
So when did soccer come into the picture and you're like, okay, I'm pretty good at this?
Yeah, I mean, it was always kind of in the fold of like my main three sports growing up were basketball, baseball, and soccer. Both of my older brothers played those three as well for the most part. And then probably the summer between seventh and eighth grade was that point of, okay, if my goal is to become a professional athlete, soccer is clearly now becoming my best chance to do that. And that's when I had to drop the other ones, and which was not fun. I mean, I miss playing other sports, but to get to where I wanted to go, it had to be done, and turned out to be the right decision.
It sure did. Yeah, I love that you played that many sports until that age, because I always wonder too, kids now, I feel like if you want to make that professional level, you kind of have to put them in one sport as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And do the premier leagues and play all year round. I was very similar to you, where I played soccer, basketball, baseball. Yeah. So every few months you're switching it up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that age that you can afford to do that is becoming younger and younger because of the specialization that it takes to succeed. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to end up parenting it, but I enjoyed so much playing the other sports and feel like I gained a lot of, you know, whether it's movements or even, I guess I'll sum it up. Like one of our coaches growing up in soccer, I was about 10 or 12. And he was like, right now you're an athlete who plays soccer. He's like, I want you to become a soccer player who's also an athlete. I was like, man, that kind of really clicks for me. And so you look at part of my game now and what I think I do really well on the soccer field, it's like the stuff probably from like one-on-one basketball. It's like the anticipation, the movements, your cutting, your jumping ability, like things that are like more athletic. I feel like I got a lot of that from those other sports.
Right. And a little more physical too, because I feel like, I don't know, maybe you can answer this. Other countries aren't as physical as the U.S. Do you know something?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit more technical. You know, they grow up certainly at a younger age doing more ball skills, more things, small-sided games, fields. Whereas, you know, we, or like I did, play other sports for the most part. You're not specializing as at a younger age. And so that all plays a role. You look at our World Cup data and we ran the most of any country in the, you know, up through four games in the World Cup. And it was like no problem for us. And I think you look at duels and challenges, like we were very successful in that regard. So plays a part in it. And I'm probably, you know, there's probably a nice balance there that we have to find as a country, but certainly known for, you know, that fighting spirit, American spirit. And I think that that rang true for us.
Yeah. And to get into World Cup, and those that don't follow soccer, World Cup is the mecca of soccer. It's like the Super Bowl. It's played once every 4 years. So you have nations that are working for 4 years, getting their team together, then to go compete against everybody else in the world that qualifies. And you guys had one of the top four or five youngest rosters in the world.
Yeah, correct? I think we ended up being like second or third youngest roster at the whole World Cup, which is, you know, promising for what we have coming in 2026. You know, North America is going to be hosting the World Cup 2026, US, Mexico, Canada. And we should have a good chance to progress that roster that was super young. And now hopefully guys are entering into their prime and have World Cup experience. So, I mean, should be a promising cycle for us.
Yeah, it's very exciting to watch. What is the process of getting a roster spot for the World Cup? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult and stressful than people would imagine. I guess dissimilar to other sports, like you normally try out for a team and if you make it, it's like, hey, you're on the team for 2023 or whatever it is. And with a national team, it is just in constant flux. I mean, every camp, there's a different roster. So you constantly have to be in top form, top health to get called in. Because if you miss one camp for injury, someone could come in the next camp while you're gone, play really well, and all of a sudden they're invited to the next camp and you're out. So a lot of it, you have to be healthy. You have to be consistent for a long period of time and get that, you know, proving ground of games under your belt to where they know, okay, we can count on this person. But to do that, it's very competitive. I mean, I'm sure the depth charts between every camp are always in flux. So that's what makes it obviously more stressful. And I've been on both sides of getting the calls to go into camp, getting the calls that are surprises when you're not in camp. So,
and how long are the camps?
Camps are usually about, you know, 2 weeks, about 10 days. MLS is different than the international, you know, FIFA calendar, but normally every 6 weeks or so, there's about a 10-day break from club soccer where teams release their international players and you get like two friendlies or two competitive games in probably every 2 months.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. How does one determine which country they play for?
I mean, for me, it was simple because I don't have, you know, dual nationality. For the guys that are able to represent multiple countries, I mean, there's so many things that go into that decision. I think you have to look at, you know, which team you feel like gives you the best chance to show, you know, who you are as a player, reach your individual personal goals. You have to look at, I guess that's probably the biggest thing is like playing time. Are you going to be a big factor on that team? Or are you going to be a bench player on another team? The team dynamic, do you feel comfortable in that group or not? You know, who makes you feel more at home and free to play? And questions that you probably have to ask guys who are able to play for multiple countries. But we obviously have plenty on our team that chose the US. So we're grateful for those guys.
Absolutely. So what is the pressure like? So this past year in Qatar, you guys go out there, you're taking the field, you got the USA on your chest, you're starting, you worked 4 years, your whole life to get to that point. You know, the whole nation is watching you. What's going through your brain at that moment?
Yeah, honestly, not too. I didn't want to get distracted or caught up in the moment too much. I'd, you know, read some interesting articles about, you know, some players who had previous World Cup experiences and the things that they thought they did well or regretted in that moment. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting was Rio Ferdinand was talking about a game where he lined up and was like, kind of getting all emotional, and he felt like it actually threw him off of his game in that moment. So I'd read that prior to the World Cup, and I'm like, it's a good point. You know, I only have maybe this one chance, hopefully another chance at a World Cup. I want to make sure I'm focused and concentrated going into this game. And ultimately, I think we did a good job for a team that had pretty much no World Cup experience of, you know, playing in a way that felt like we were confident and had been there before. So emotions, I mean, I took probably 10 seconds of that walkout national anthem plays to like look in the stands. And it's the cliche thing of like, you see your family members, you see other friends and family from teammates, and you realize like there's such a small circle that knows the sacrifice that you put in to get there. And so I was just so appreciative in that moment, not only of like myself for the hard work and challenges that I overcame to get to that point of being on the field, but so thankful for all the sacrifices that my immediate family or friends or wife like made for me to do those things as well. And that was probably the moment that I took that still resonates with me of just appreciation. And then honestly, once the whistle blew, it was, you know, locked in. I kind of play as if it's white noise all around me. I just am so focused on the game that those outside circumstances, I don't really think too much about.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you don't want to get your emotions too high.
Yeah.
Throw yourself off. And it's kind of reminds me of the Hoosiers basketball movie. The coach comes out, takes the tape measure. He's like, hey, hoop's 10 feet here. It's 10 feet over there. Same thing. You're playing soccer. Yeah. You've done this in your entire life. You know what you're doing. Let's go out there and just do it.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's wild. That gives me the chills, Sam K. I don't know if you watch World Cup, but I think it's the best sporting event in the world because for the first time, or the only time during the year, all the Americans come together for root for the same team. Where it's like the NFL, everybody's got their different teams, baseball and all that. This time, you actually all come together. You go to the bars, whatever it is, and everybody's cheering for the same team, which is super cool.
I love a competitive moment.
Yeah.
So I will be the first to admit that I know nothing about soccer unless it was featured on the show Ted Lasso. But I love competitiveness in general. I like the camaraderie and the unity like you're speaking of, but I also just feel like it appeals to my athletic heart. And like you're saying, I mean, I am by no means a professional athlete, but I was an athlete for many years. I have a younger brother who still plays hockey. And so those moments that you were talking about the sacrifice and all of those things that date back to when he was four.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get emotional when I think of those things, when he has success and it's like such a big celebration for the team and for the win, but also just everything that led up to it. So yeah, I'm down. Sign me up for a watch party.
And lost to the Netherlands, right?
Yep.
3-1 in the knockout stage. Like you said, you guys have the experience. You have the youth. You've got another World Cup in you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the prime age is for a soccer player?
I think it definitely is position specific. You look at center backs, it's typically a little bit older than, you know, more dynamic positions, whether it's a forward or a winger. Goalkeepers are usually older as well. So I think honestly for center backs, it is probably like this 30, like 28 to like 32-ish is probably in your prime. You look at younger wingers or like forwards, it's probably a little bit younger than that, maybe 25 to 28. But it just depends on the body type, what you're good at, what you're known for. I think part of the perk of being a defender is a lot of it is that anticipation. It's you're not really having to sprint at max speed. So like if sprinting is not the number one thing in your position and it's more cerebral, you should get better as you get older. And I've found that for sure as I've gotten older, more experienced, is the game just slows down and you're able to see things before they happen a lot clearer, make, you know, better decisions because you know where you want to go next and what the other team's doing. So yeah, I think experience and seeing those pictures over and over and over again, that's what makes you better as you get older.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the last man standing there before the keeper.
Yeah.
And kind of quarterbacking it all.
Yep.
And just watching it, it's also too like a chess match.
It is. It's one of my favorite parts of the position is the fact that you do get to see everything in front of you. And I think a lot of that, I feel the responsibility of, you know, I hate giving up goals because I think whether it's my personal fault or not, whether I was around it, I always think, man, I could have positioned someone else better or helped them read that situation better to where we shouldn't have given up a goal. And so that's like the way I approach the game is it's not just about, you know, not making any individual mistakes. It's like, man, how can we as a team get a shutout every game? And so every goal, I ultimately feel there was a point where I could have done something to affect the outcome.
I think that's probably why you're so great at what you do too, and also why you're a captain of the team. What does it take to be a captain on a team of men, professionals who are all coming from the best of the best? Like they are the top players in their cities, their colleges. They come together on the major league team and yep. You're trying to tell them to get on the same page. What does that take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of work ethic. It takes a lot of ownership. You know, if you want to be a good leader, you got to do things that you got to be willing to do the things that you're asking the other guys to do. Mm-hmm. And so I can't just show up and be like, hey, man, you need to make that run. You need to work harder if I'm not willing to also do those things. So I think priority number one is how can I lead by example on the training field? It's every day being consistent, being competitive, driving the training session forward. And then that earns your respect, right, of the teammates. And then I think the other thing that is so forgotten and like not talked about as much about being a captain, it's like, they say, yeah, you need to connect with your teammates, but I view it more of like, how can I love my teammates better and make them feel like they're accepted and have their worth, whether they're playing or not playing? How can I make them feel that they are a big, important part of this team? And that can be connecting like, yeah, on training, but certainly outside of the soccer field too. It's like, hey man, how's the family going? What did you get up to on the off days? just trying to find different inside things that connects me with that person. I think when you establish relationship, it allows, like, guys are willing to fight for each other more on the field when you know more about that person. Like, I'm going to be more inclined to work harder for them, get into, you know, scuffles on the field with my teammates if I have that personal relationship. So that's been the challenge for me stepping into this role at Nashville is, man, how can I, you know, connect with my teammates? And that's everyone, the guys who are older than me and the guys who are, you know, rookies in the league. It's how can I treat them in a similar way?
When you get to the professional level, do you feel like there are guys who are just like, all right, I'm here making a paycheck, as opposed to, all right, guys, we got to win. I want to take home that cup. Does it become a little more selfish at the professional level?
I think there are moments where it's easy for guys to fall into that. But I think that's the challenge of a team is like that mentality, if that's consistent basis, like it shouldn't be able to fly in the locker room. Mm. You know, it's always got to be team above the individual. That's the only way you're going to, you know, win a championship. And it's, you hear it all the time, but team success is often leading to individual success. So it's, you look at teams that go win Super Bowls, win NBA championships, it's hard to keep those rosters together because that means all those guys have had a really good season to do that. And so that's where it comes down to like, yeah, that does help you individually. That'll earn you your next contract. That'll earn you more money. And so that's motivation for me in my mind, like, all right, let's make sure the team wins. Because if team wins, everyone wins. So I think we got a good group. I don't think it's too much of an issue with our team right now. Because again, I think guys would sniff that out so fast. And,
exactly.
And that's where the accountability and culture of a locker room matters.
Big time. And Nashville, very new to the MLS game. And you came over here to start the team 3 years ago.
Yeah, this is the fourth season.
And you scored the first goal in the history of the club.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
What's that transition been like? Were you nervous? Or were you like, nah, I feel like Nashville is going to be a great city for soccer?
Man, honestly, the whole trade process for me was like crazy. It was so unexpected, so out of the blue, very late in terms of when that stuff typically happens. So I got traded towards the end of preseason, 2 weeks before that first game was when I got traded from LA to Nashville. Complete bomb, like shook us up. We were super sad to leave LA. We felt really comfortable there. Thought we could be there for a long time. And then all of a sudden you get a call. Oddly enough, this is actually great to have this conversation. Monday night, you know what's on Monday nights on ABC?
The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're watching that, turn it on, 8 o'clock.
What season are you watching?
This was going into 2020. I'm trying to think of who it was at the time.
Was it a Bachelor or a Bachelorette?
It would have been February, so it would have been a Bachelor.
Oh, you even know like the month.
Come on, dude. Summer is the Bachelorette. Everyone knows that.
Knows that.
I mean, come on.
Did you have your Bachelorette so I don't know pool who
this,
going to?
Yeah, I don't know who this would have been. That's probably why I don't remember it. It was overshadowed by this event.
Yeah.
This traumatic event that I blocked out. Get the phone call.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, like we just got an offer that we felt we couldn't refuse. We're trading you to Nash. Or he's like, we're trading you. And I was like, Sally, like I'm getting traded, you know, whispering it. And she's like, to where? And he's like, we're trading you to Nashville. And I was like, My literal response is like, Nashville? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, okay, that could have been way worse, you know? So, because we had talked about, we knew Nashville was getting a team. And we're like, oh, that's cool. Like, I wonder how the soccer reception is going to be in that city. Like, that'll be fun for a team to be there, like, happy they're coming in MLS. So, as soon as he said Nashville, I was like,
all right, not bad.
Like, okay, like, we avoided some really bad situations.
Yes.
And honestly, like, as sad as it was, I think arriving to Nashville like 2 days later just alleviated so much of that, you know, anxiety and stress because of the reception from fans, from ownership, ultimately getting to the team in preseason, knowing a couple guys in advance already. And then, like you said, 2 weeks later out there, you know, 60,000 at Nissan for our first game ever and have that reception and obviously get the goal was just like, what a whirlwind of a two weeks.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
That's wild how the whole trade process works because Dre, her best friend, is married to a soccer player and he just got traded. They had a baby, a newborn, for like 2 days. And his name's Diego. He plays on LA now. He just got traded.
Yep.
And he's just at home and he gets a phone call and they're like, hey, we're trading you. Can you get on this flight tonight?
Yeah.
He's like, you literally just had a baby 2 days ago. And then you're just off to that next city.
I do think there's something to be said let's just like not give a moment of silence, but maybe like a round of applause for the wives and or spouses or counterparts, whatever you want to call them. When they call you and say, can you get on a flight tonight? Guess who packs up the house and moves everything and meets you there?
Right.
100%.
You know, and that's just, there are a lot of sexy parts about being married to a professional athlete. And there's a lot of unsexy parts. And I just feel like good for them. I'm proud of them. Good job, wives and kids and everybody who picks up their life in order to achieve a dream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Nashville has been a great soccer city, I feel like. Your games are always packed.
Yeah, we've been crushing it. And I think the question mark was, okay, going from a USL team to MLS, having this new stadium, what's that going to look like? And then you had obviously COVID happen, and there were a lot of moving parts. But from the beginning, I think Mark, that first game where, you know, 60,000 come to Nissan and watch us play, the reception has been amazing. And I think since Geodis opened, you know, it's a 30,000 seat stadium capacity, and we're getting 28,000 plus almost every game.
Yeah.
So the reception has been great. Would love to add some silverware to the cabinet for the fans, for believing in us and showing up. But I think that's coming. I think we're improving every year, and 3 years in the league as an expansion team, you know, making the playoffs every year. Only a couple of teams have done that in MLS history. So the consistency and having success early is not common. And the fact that we're able to do that is
very
impressive.
Yeah. And the stadium was packed out last week, Lionel Messi in town with Miami. And I was in the stadium. That was electric.
Yeah.
That energy in there was wild.
That was a great game. I mean, it's a little bit tough still to swallow, knowing that, you know, we had an opportunity to win a trophy at home against Messi, against that new look Miami team. And to come up so close. I mean, you can't write it up to be any closer when it comes down to not only PKs, but then goalies going against each other PKs. I mean, that rarely happens.
I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, it's very rare.
I've played soccer, like I said, and I've watched soccer. Usually the penalty kicks, it gets figured out in the first five.
Yep.
And then if it's tied, you go 1-1, maybe six, maybe seven people go, but it went to 10.
Yep.
And then the goalies come out and they kick. What happened if it was still tied? Did you go back to the top?
It would start over and you keep going. Yeah. So Hani was our first kicker. He was about to
Messi would come up again.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's wild. And you can't even feel bad for your goalie there either, because he's not supposed to be taking that.
No, he's never expecting to be the one walking up to the spot with his kick on the line.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, you can't make it up.
Even a lot of those guys,
even
bottom half of that
100%. Yeah, they're not thinking it's, oh yeah, I'm going like seventh, eighth, like,
yeah,
I'll be fine. And then it's like, all right, here we go. And I will say, I mean, there were some really nice PKs from our, you know, 7 through 10, you know,
everyone
really
hit.
Good. Yeah,
right. From 6 through 10,
6 through 10, everyone made theirs. Yeah,
that's impressive. So what was it like playing against what people call the greatest in the world?
Yeah, I mean, it was special for sure. You see the highlight reels, you see obviously what he did this past World Cup, you know, bringing Argentina a World Cup, and it's special. You know, there's no other way around it. You see some of the goals he's scored in the league already, and just his ability to be so accurate from, you know, even outside the box, it's just so precise. He's hitting corners, he's hitting the post almost every time when he shoots. So trying to prevent any inch of separation is important. And to be honest, I thought we did a pretty good job. You know, you look at what he had done in that run leading up to the final, and he had been super productive. Their offense in general averaging probably 3 goals a game.
Yeah.
And we held them to fairly minimal chances. You had the goal, shot off the post, and then the chance at the very end, which would have been probably even more of a dagger than losing in PKs, was to have it in like that. But yeah, I thought we did a good job managing them and preventing them from scoring. And I really liked the way that we played the second half. Thought we were going to end up winning it in regulation.
Yeah. It was an impressive game. And just watching Messi out there, he walks for like 80% of the game.
I know.
He's just walking around the field,
conserving that energy. It's almost like, it's like winding up a car, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just waiting, like, okay. And then all of a sudden he gets the ball and it's like, boom.
And then the magic happens.
Yeah.
And that one goal he had too, it's like, he was pretty quiet. He wasn't getting the ball much.
Yep.
And then he gets the ball and then that
makes
shot
something
was
happen.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
That's what you got to be the best player in the world. And the most impressive part about him is that I was like, okay, he's living up to the hype.
Right.
Because you get hype like that, coming off the World Cup, MVP, all that stuff, and you got the whole world watching, and probably one of the most famous people in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be loving being in Miami, you know, for as much fame as he has. Like, he can't go anywhere in Europe, in Argentina, I know one of his first weeks, it showed like it was pretty viral about him going to Publix with his family. And obviously, that, you know, there are a bunch of people out there who like, we're taking pictures, but it's not like he's getting mobbed at the store and can't leave, you know? So he's probably like, man, this is amazing. Nice. I only have 50 people here taking pictures.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a new level of fame for an athlete in the US. And it's going to be great for the sport. It's going to be great for our league. Mm-hmm. And you see the way that he's acting so humbly on the field with his teammates. You know, I know while we didn't stick around to watch the entire trophy celebration presentation at the stadium, he gave the captain's armband to, you know, DeAndre Yedlin, who had been the captain prior to his arrival, and they both lift the trophy together. You know, it's like, really? He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to, but he doesn't want that moment to be all about him. And to see the way that he's gone about, you know, carrying that culture within that team is cool to watch.
That is very cool. How do we get the sport of soccer to be as popular as a sport like the NFL? What do you think has to happen?
Investment, I think. Yeah. You know, you look at the trajectory of the league, you know, it is growing at a pretty good rate. I wouldn't be surprised if after 2026, we start seeing even more commitment and investment and participation in the sport, to where, you know, they always talk about by the end of 2026, can we be a top five league in the world? Top five destination, top five talent. And I think, you know, there's a real opportunity. Maybe it's not right then, but I think, you know, 2-3 years after that World Cup, it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very desirable place for people to come. But I think the secret is, okay, well, that means you gotta pay for the better players. You gotta invest more into the youth programs to develop and produce younger stars. And I think we've seen that shift. Youth soccer is night and day different from when we were growing up. I mean, the fact that we now have MLS academies, homegrowns being signed at, you know, 15, 16 from the academies. You know, kids are, you look at Nashville. We started an academy and you have people from all over the country moving their families so that their kids can play, or they're sending their kid to stay with a host family to train with the academy to hopefully get a contract with the first team. That's something that never would have happened 10, 12 years ago. So I think that the roots are in place, you know, to start producing these types of players that can be ultimate game changers from like a global scale. And I think, yeah, I think we're close. I think we're really close to next 10, 20, 30 years. We should be catching up to the NFL, MLB as one of the top sports in the US.
We've got to be one of the only countries where soccer or football
is not first.
Is not. Every other place you go to, that's what they live, breathe, and eat. Soccer, Sam Cap. Big soccer fan over there.
Yep.
Soon to be.
Soon to
Listen,
be.
Listen, I'll trade
you. Post-2026. That's what we're talking about.
But I've never been to a Nashville soccer game. So I've decided while you're speaking that I'll trade you Old Dominion tickets. You said you like country music. I work for Old Dominion. So I'll trade you Old Dominion tickets. You can trade me a pair of soccer tickets. Really,
that's a great deal for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great deal for me. I've never experienced it. Well, I can't. Listen, also, I need to preface it. Like, you'll be sitting in the pit. So, like, I need to also be in whatever.
Okay, all right. You want that VIP treatment.
Yeah, whatever the translation is. I don't want to be on the bench. No, I don't need to be on the bench.
We're trying to find her a boyfriend.
Oh, Jesus.
We can put you on the stretcher crew. You want to be on the stretcher crew? You certified for that?
I don't know what that means, but it.
Someone gets hurt, you got to carry the stretcher on the field?
Oh, no. Yeah. I want to have a couple cocktails. No. I want to have a couple cocktails. I want to, like, really dive in and.
Club level seats. That sounds nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You want club level?
You want a wristband?
In the action?
No. I want to be in the action. I don't want someone to be like waiting on me. I want to be like double fisting Michelob Ultras in section whatever, like when you score a goal, throwing it in the air. Yeah. And like,
you want to be in the supporter section?
I want to be
flags.
Like,
that's
yes,
where I was.
Yeah,
I
want to be chest bumping some guy named Stan who loves soccer. Like, that's where I want to be. I want to feel the competitive spirit.
Okay.
When does it start again?
We're pretty much all year.
Okay.
I mean, our preseason is like January, early January, and we go, the final this year is December 9th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The what? Long season.
Wait, so...
It's a long
and
season.
And it's full, like, actual season that entire time?
Actual games are the last weekend in February to one of the last weekends of October is regular season.
So you have absolutely
playoffs
no...
Playoffs go through... Often. Yeah, especially when you add international stuff to the mix, there is... I get probably 3 weeks off, which is mid-December to early January.
So what is the difference in your training then? I mean, I didn't know that. I'm learning this as you tell me. Do you have fluctuation in training schedules to make sure that you can last the whole year for the whole season?
Yeah. I every case is a little bit different, because if your team doesn't make the playoffs, that's when it comes down to the club of like, okay, you have the option of keeping players in market for a certain point. Or you can be like, screw it, you guys get the mental break. We'll see you in 2 months. And so there's like a fine line of like, how much time do we give them off if they don't make playoffs or, you know, aren't involved with the national team? And that's where it gets a little tricky, because some players are like, no, I need 8 weeks, you know, and you're like, I don't need 8 weeks
off. Do you have any say in that since you're the captain?
Probably a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think I think
the players ultimately can have some sort of say in that, for better or for worse, right? Like if it's too short, be like, look, it's been a really long year. We had a lot of competitions, a lot of games. Mm-hmm. I think we need a little bit, you know, more of a break. Or like, hey, we got knocked out early in the playoffs. Like, we need to keep guys sharp for at least another couple of weeks before we take off.
Yeah, you're the liaison between players and coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never knew that. My mind is blown. I thought for sure, just like every other sport, there was some sort of an off season.
No, we got to be probably the longest season of pro sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, you get to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, we get Christmas. Yeah, we'll take that. Sure. Sometimes Thanksgiving. But the problem is you can't plan it.
Oh, no.
You know, I think last year, 2 years ago, it was kind of like, hey, conditional Thanksgiving. If we're not in the playoffs, you know, we can host. But and then it's like 2 days before, we'll find out.
Whoops.
Yeah, you'll either be at our house or not.
Yeah, you low-key don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What a weird life. I love it.
It is. It's a long season. Because we were trying to figure it out the other night, too. Because that cup that you guys were playing for, that's just kind of halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But that's not the actual playoffs.
Right.
For the main championship.
Right. Yeah, this was a new tournament for the first time that they had done this, which was all the Liga MX teams, all of the MLS teams are in like a knockout type tournament. So this was the first year that they had done that. And it just turned out like we beat Monterrey in the semifinal, which was the last Liga MX team remaining, and then ultimately played Miami.
Right. But.
And we're going to take a halftime break. And this break is brought to you by HelloFresh, somebody that I use and love because, first of all, they're very convenient. And if you're busy, they have amazing, amazing tasty recipes that you can cook up for yourself and or your family. And fall is right around the corner, and HelloFresh is here to help you plan for the busy season ahead with tasty dishes delivered straight to your door. Simply choose your recipes and pick your delivery date, and then just lay back and enjoy the last days of summer knowing that dinner is covered. And the key to dinner time success, Sam Cat, is variety. HelloFresh keeps your taste buds on their toes with 40 chef-crafted recipes to select from every week. From family-friendly to fit and wholesome, you'll always find new and exciting recipes to try and love. Go to HelloFresh.com/50Booth. That's with two O's. And use code 50Booth for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/50Booth. And use code 50BOOTH for 50% off plus free shipping. It's America's number one meal kit. Do you think that fantasy football?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
I feel like is the number one driver for the NFL. And I think that that's why it's so popular, is people pick their players. People are betting now online. Every person, whether it's male, female, older, younger, they're tuning in because they want to see their team, their fantasy player do well.
Yeah.
Do we need that in soccer?
We have it.
Okay.
So. But it's not nearly as popular as fantasy football.
How does it work? What are the points
I think it's more of like, so I've never played it. We aren't allowed to do that kind of thing.
That's right.
But the way I understand it is I think that there's more like a monetary value assigned to each player based on what they normally produce. And you have to construct a team weekly of players under that salary cap. So if you want to be like, hey, Hani Mukhtar, MVP of the league, say he costs $10 million of your $35, $40 million that you have for your fantasy team. You have to then pick and choose like, okay, how many stars do I get versus like role players? Do I balance it out a little bit more? And you have to look at the matchups of like, oh, they're playing a really bad defense. Like, let me get this forward. but their price could be higher because of that. So it's a lot of things you have to think about.
Okay.
It's definitely not as popular. I mean, the most popular fantasy in soccer is probably the locker room fantasy football league. You got that all over the place in MLS. You know, all the teams pretty much have their leagues for fantasy football, but hopefully we'll, because we can't do soccer anyways.
Right. We can do football.
We can do football.
You have your draft already?
We have a date set.
Okay.
So I got, I'm in two leagues this year, cutting it down from four.
Okay. That's a lot.
It was a lot.
That's a lot of management. You know,
added a second baby, I figured I could cut it out a little bit. But I think three is the sweet spot. So I'm a little disappointed I dropped out the third one. But our date is set for next Tuesday.
That's ours.
Right. I think both of them. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, it's got to be like the only day because it starts Thursday, but it's Labor Day weekend.
You don't want to go too early.
Don't want to go too early.
Because injuries. Yeah.
You're looking at Tuesday or Wednesday drafts.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah. And we have it set up. We're doing a league at my gym. And to determine the draft order, we have a big map on the wall. And we had one of our front desk workers pick a random city out of anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And we got 20 seconds. So we go up to the board, flip it over, see what city is. And then we have to dot where we think that city is.
Amazing.
And then the closest gets the number one pick, farthest gets the 12th pick.
Was there a little bit of strategy there, though? Because you could almost try and put it on the North Pole to try and get the 12th. Or is it like...
Exactly.
Or is like, hey, the closest, you get to choose your draft slot.
Right. You get to choose.
That would be... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That prevents any...
Yes.
Reverse cheating going on.
But I was thinking about that because I'm kind of like an all or nothing guy where I was going to go pretty extreme left or right. And then we had the 20 seconds. And
What was the city? Did you guys already do this?
It was Rhodes. Where is that? R-H-O-D-E-S.
I mean, there's a Rhodes College.
Yeah, I believe it was Rhodes.
It was my roommate who picked it. I was looking at the...
Did it end up being in the U.S.? Because there's a Rhodes College.
I have no idea.
But that's probably not a city, I bet.
I need to know this because I'm going to test you guys right now. And you're going to pick.
I'm going
to give you guys
fail.
20 seconds.
Know.
All right.
R-H-O-D-E-S?
Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
Here. No. Don't cheat. Don't cheat.
I'm going to go.
Don't.
Who are you calling?
Bailey?
She's at work. Whoa. It's the middle of the day, Booth.
All right.
Man, so you don't know the answer.
I do know the answer.
Okay.
I just forget the exact city name. But I got nervous at the countdown and I was like, then I went in Europe in like Germany. It's kind of a safe spot in the middle.
And yeah, that's safe.
It's actually in Argentina.
Whoa.
So I was a little off.
Way off. Yeah. So then what happens now? You're like the last one to pick your fantasy guys?
No, everybody's got to go. And then we take the ruler out and see.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Men are so weird. You mean to tell me you can't remember a grocery list, but you're going to take a ruler out and measure how far away you are on a map that you went out of your way to print in order for you to have a fake league
which order
you are going to pick fake players for your fake team?
Fake players? These are real humans.
Real managers here. Real managers. And we even have a punishment wheel this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed. Like, the dedication that people have to fantasy football is unmatched. I wish I cared about anything the way men care about fantasy football and women care about Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
I wish. Just like one thing. What is going on?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited, though, because this punishment wheel, the person who gets the lowest amount of points every week has to spin a wheel, and they have a punishment each week.
Oh, it's different every week?
Wow. Weekly,
so every person has to choose a punishment.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pick one. You'd have to pick one.
Oh, and it goes on the wheel.
It goes on the wheel.
How extreme are you going here? Because, like, if you go too extreme, then that better be a pretty good buy-in for the league.
Yeah. So mine, I think I'm going to go with, across the street from my gym is the Greyhound bus station.
Yeah.
And it is a very, what's the right word here, Sam Cat? Entertaining place. You get a little bit of everything over there. You get shootings, you get stabbings, you get drug deals.
Yeah.
A lot of homeless people. So my punishment is going to be that you have to sit at the corner of the Greyhound with a karaoke machine, and you have to do karaoke for an hour.
An hour.
I mean,
or if you...
Your prize better be...
$5,000.
Yeah, it better be a steep buy-in.
Those people are risking their life. 1 hour of karaoke?
This is a steep punishment for a weekly loser.
Yeah.
That's like season finale type punishment.
That's pretty rough. I know. It was either that or go down to Broadway and bring a guitar, and you have to sit there until you get $100 in tips.
See, I think you get that so fast.
So do I.
Yeah. But like that seems appropriate for a weekly punishment.
I don't know. $100 in tips? You think you get that fast on Broadway?
Yeah, someone will.
No, I don't. $100 is a lot of money, especially if they're not good.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll like think it's all like cool. Oh, yeah, you're doing this for fantasy football.
It depends on what time of day are they going down to Broadway to play. That's also another tactic. Right.
You got to choose. Yeah. You got to go on
Tuesday at 11:15
right,
in the
right,
morning.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. An hour of singing karaoke outside the Greyhound bus station, A, seems very dangerous, and B, is a very... Do you know how long an hour of singing karaoke is?
Yeah. You get to choose whatever music you want to sing.
Count me out for that league. I'm glad I didn't get the invite for that.
Wow. Okay. Well, good luck to your league. I'm impressed with your dedication.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing the winner.
Can't
so
wait.
So if that's the weekly loser, then who, if you lose the league, what happens
to
the end?
Yeah, that's even worse. We don't know yet, but.
You die.
Yeah, you die.
You die. You're sacrificed.
You're eliminated.
Yeah. They have all crazy type of punishments.
It's going to be a two-person league in 2033.
Yeah. Exactly. There's one that you see on TikTok, like, you have to go to a 24-hour McDonald's and you have to stay there for 24 hours, but you can take off an hour for every Big Mac you eat.
Yeah, so I did that for the Waffle House. A couple years ago, yeah.
You lost?
Yes, but I hated how we did it because we did the playoff system. I finished 7th out of 12. Going to the loser's bracket with a bye, like I didn't have to face... Yeah, I didn't have to face anyone.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get the loser.
I did get to play a game. I lost that one, going to the semifinal. Too many long stories. I lose that. Shouldn't have lost that game. Go into the final of the loser's bracket from the 7th seed. Lose on a Monday night game. Devin Singletary driving down the field first drive. Zach Moss vultures it. Lose by like 4 points. Go to Waffle House. Ours was, thankfully, it was 18 hours. Take off an hour for every waffle you eat.
I could do that.
So I ate 10 waffles, was there for 8 hours.
You just stacked 10 right in the first plate?
No. I went, honestly, the first one, I was like, I want to enjoy this. Yeah. So I'm like low carb too. So like of all the people, I'm like, this stresses me out. You know, like not only is this a punishment, this is like anti-diet right now.
Oh, I love
you know,
carbs.
In the middle of the year. So I went there in the morning, probably like 8 a.m. Got there. I enjoyed my first waffle. I put butter and syrup and was like, let me just have a great waffle. And I was like,
that's a bold move.
It went down so easy. I'm like, that was great. I'll do two more. Ate those two. And I'm like, really not bad. You know, I'm at 3 waffles. Like, that's like a normal, decent breakfast.
Yeah.
Did a triple stack.
Okay.
And
out.
The way that they cooked this particular batch of triple stack was like just not great waffles. Like, they were more hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's Waffle House. You never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And that one, that wrecked me. I was out for like, I slowly just did one waffle from then on out, just like picking at it. And
how many hours total?
I was there 8 hours. I did 10 waffles.
Were you by yourself?
I was by myself. I needed to get some work done anyways. I was doing like a coaching course at the time. So I was like taking Zoom calls and like working. And my wife was very unhappy.
What year was this?
Yeah, it's like your off day to hang out with your wife. You're sorry,
no,
babe.
It was.
I gotta go to Waffle House
today. It was 2021 because we had just had Tucker in
June. So you
June.
Remember the play of which you lost the semifinals of your fantasy team.
Oh, he hasn't slept
the
since.
The semifinals.
When's your wife's birthday?
July 7th.
Ooh, okay, got it. I was going to say, if you can't remember other facts, we got to talk.
No. Yeah, it was bad. This to go back to the punishment, we just, our draft is next Tuesday. The punishment from last season was every manager got to send an idea of content creation and outfit to the loser for a calendar.
Nice.
So the calendar is, the shoot has been completed.
Oh, God.
Calendar is in transit, should be at draft headquarters for next week. And we got a little teaser of just a behind the scenes picture, and it's going to be really good. Can't wait to see it. I think it's a great punishment.
the draft headquarters, you doing live?
Draft HQ, it's always live for our Nashville League.
Yeah. Okay. Do you host it?
I did the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty stressful.
You're not the commissioner. You don't have time to be the commissioner.
I dropped out of commissioner duties from my national team league this year.
Okay.
Kind of regretting it a little bit.
You liked
because
it.
I was in the write-ups. And then now it's like new commissioner, Christian Roldan. I'm going to make sure you get tagged in this. Takes over commissioner duties, changes the app now that we're now moving to sleeper app. Starts trying to propose all these polls like, do we change super flex, extra, no kicker? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I should have just kept my commissioner duties if things didn't change.
This sounds like the league's falling apart.
League's going a little bit sideways, but we'll get it back on track.
If you get first overall pick, who are you going with? As Sam Cat rolls her eyes over here.
We've been talking about fantasy football longer than anything else.
It's a passion.
Okay.
You talk about this and you talk about golf.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Listen, I'm down.
I mean, Justin Jefferson's obviously the one that's going high on the boards. Mm-hmm. I've never been a wide receiver from like a first slot ever.
I love the wide receivers first round.
But like number one pick?
I feel like there's so many running backs you can scoop up in the middle of the season.
I mean, I probably am going Justin Jefferson, but number two, I'm not going Ja'Marr Chase. I'm probably going to go for CMC, take that gamble on his health. And then
I had him a few years ago and he was out the whole season.
Well, so you're scarred. But you can't let the past affect the future.
I do. That's a problem with me.
I do get attached. There are some players I'm like, I got to have you on this team. Like Mark Andrews, my dog. I will reach for him every year.
He might be a first round pick.
Justin Tucker, same things. I always have to have a token Raven on my team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it fun. Rooting for your team.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking this year about quarterback first round.
No, absolutely not. Can't do it. Can't touch him.
Wasn't it Allen who just put up monster numbers?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But
you can always grab a quarterback.
Always grab. I'm a late QB drafter.
All right. I'm the same way. Yeah. So you're also a Bachelor or Bachelorette fan.
I am.
Crazy story. I have to tell you this. Sam Cat, right before I got here, this is a wild story. I'm still like a little triggered by it.
Oh, no.
I got I had to do an interview with, it was Extra or Entertainment Tonight for Zoom. So they emailed me. There was a contestant who committed suicide yesterday.
Oh, my God.
He was on my season.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He was only there for one night. So they email me and they asked if I want to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm an advocate of mental health. And I always work with companies like Movember and I always preach mental health. And I know it's like a very serious thing. So I was like, oh, yeah, I can talk about that. But I'm like, I don't really know him that well. I don't think anybody from our season did.
Right.
Because he was only there for one night and he got kicked off. We're on the call. This is crazy. She's talking to me and she keeps asking like, oh, what was he like? And do you remember conversations with him? And I'm like, listen, I only spent like a couple hours with him. There's 25 guys there. There's like a lot going on.
Sure.
Everybody's super nervous. You're trying to talk to the girls. And I remember him being very genuine and just like, you know, a guy who seemed like he was calm, cool, and collected. She continues asking me. She's like, well, you know, did he know that he was struggling with mental health? And I'm like, no, I didn't know. Again, I haven't kept up with him. I haven't talked to him since that first night. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And like, how do you feel? I'm like trying to get into all my emotions. And I'm like, maybe I'm not the right guy for this conversation because I don't really know him, but I do want to talk about mental health. And then she's like, well, hold on one second. She's like, this is really weird. And I'm like, okay. She picks up her phone and she goes, he's alive.
What?
And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, hold on. I gotta make this phone call.
Is this?
She calls somebody and she's like, okay, so his Instagram account got hacked and he just posted a video. He's alive. Yeah, he's alive.
What sick joke is this?
She's like, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? And again, she's talking to me as if like I was
his best friend,
very close with him. And I felt like, I'm like, you should
not
probably,
your guy.
I'm not the guy. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have taken this interview because I don't know anything about him. I don't know what he's been struggling with. We're in the moment now. I'm with Sean Booth. Like, tell me how you're feeling, all this. And I'm like, yeah, obviously it's like a huge relief and for his family. And she's like, can you pull up his Instagram video? And so I pull up his Instagram video and he's like, hey guys, it's me. I'm alive and well. I was hacked and trying to figure this all out. But yeah,
what
I'm
alive.
Dude, that is insane.
That's
I was really wondering. I was kind of scared when you were like laughing.
I know. I was like, yeah, boo, wipe the smile.
I don't know
off
what
face.
I'm looking like right now. But I'm like,
yeah, because I was for like an hour. I'm like, what just happened?
Oh my goodness. So did they ever cut? Have you? I mean, I know this just happened, but
it was right before I got here.
So some sick person hacked him and then said.
So
that
he said on his post that his account was hacked. And they're, you know, he was talking about his mental health for the past week in his post, and somebody was trying to mess with him, I guess, but it was an article that was released by his family, it said. And I'm also like, this happened yesterday. How the family not tell the news outlets? And That's a whole weird deal.
What in? Let's go back to talking about fantasy football. I take it back. Yeah. Let's go back. That is sick.
That is crazy. Sick. That is crazy.
Sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope that guy is okay. And I hope that his family's okay. I feel like that's traumatizing to read about someone in your family. Like, I don't know. Think about how people like not hack, but they prank or whatever older people because they don't understand like technology and all of those things. And they like extort money from your grandparents and stuff like that. Like, imagine if his grandparents read something that was on the internet and they don't know how to get in touch. I don't know. I'm spiraling here.
Yeah.
Who did this?
I know. I didn't know what to say. She's like, give me your thoughts and emotions. I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, who
were you like, I haven't had thoughts and emotions for a decade. I know, like,
again, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's feelings. Like, what do you think they should do to prevent this going forward? I'm like, well, there's got to be some type of way if you get hacked that you can immediately get that resolved with the social media companies. But this took almost 24 hours for him to come up with a video saying he what? I don't know.
There's a lot of gray area here.
Yeah. But anyways, fantasy football.
Yeah. So, wow. That was a hard left turn, Booth. But we're back.
Yeah.
Damn.
We're back.
Anyways, so soccer is my favorite sport.
Yep. We're getting Sam Cat to a game.
Geodis Park soon.
Yes.
Home game Saturday.
Okay. Are there week games?
Oh, yeah. You're out of town. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Labor Day weekend.
I'm starting the fall tour. Mm-hmm. So I will be gone essentially every weekend until December 16th.
We will have some midweek games in the fall.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I'm a midweek girly. I'll be here Sunday through Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday nights.
That sounds like a perfect night in Nashville. Go check out a soccer game.
If I don't have bus call. But yes.
Okay.
I need a Tuesday night game. Could you just change the schedule for me? We'll work
He's
on
the captain.
It.
Don't know if I have that kind of power yet.
Okay, yeah, we'll work on that. Okay.
How much practice you guys do? Every day?
Most days. We have Wednesdays are typically off if we have a weekend game, and then the day after the game. So if we play on a Saturday, it's typically Sunday and Wednesday off. This is the first time in my career that we've had the midweek day off. It's a very like English type thing. So our head coach is English, and like that's how he's, you know, always conducted his training schedule. So it ends up being pretty nice for families to get that day, you know, feels very manageable. It's like, okay, I'm going to come in Monday, Tuesday, do my work, knowing that Wednesday's off, reset, prepare Thursday, Friday for the game. Yeah, it's pretty nice. So no complaints there. Having 5 days versus six is nice.
Because when you get to your age too, 30, it's like your body is your whole life and career.
Which is why typically on a Wednesday, I'm usually in there getting treatment and trying to take care of it. But it's nice to have the option if I want it, you know, of being off.
Yeah. Take some extra days off when you get to that point in your career.
Yep.
And you think that you could play till what, 38, 39?
Man, that would be, that'd be something special right there. 38, 39, that's old.
The Tom Brady of soccer.
I've always said like anything post, if anything happened before 34, I'd be like disappointed, like upset that I didn't make it through 34. I think 36 is like, man, cherry on top. Like if you make it to 36, you're doing something right, taking care of yourself. But again, I think position specific, like it's definitely doable as a center back. So yeah, I would at least make it through 34. And then anything after that, I think is, you know, where you're pretty fortunate to keep playing.
Has your views on how you play or just the game in general changed now that you're a father?
No, I go out there kind of same mentality every time. Just want to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people I was talking to this week were giving some slack to our goalie for wearing a helmet. Like, guys.
No.
That's what you're supposed
to do. This is a health concern. This is a safety concern.
Safety concern.
Especially as a goalie. I mean, you see what they do in training and even games. I mean, you just go up to a forward like this and you're just exposed everywhere.
Yeah.
I always talk to our goalies. I'm like, I don't know how this isn't a thing, but the fact that goalies don't wear cups blows my mind.
Oh, I know.
I'm like, if I was a goalie and I'm going out there to save a shot, I'm spread eagle, like I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But if I have some protection, I feel like I'd be like way more aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
But
Does goalie have kids?
He does. He has a baby. Little under a year old. And then the other one has Joe. He doesn't wear a helmet, but he is almost a 2-year-old now. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's got to be tough playing soccer with a cup, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it restricts movement, but as a goalie, I feel like you're not like moving around too much, but I don't know.
You ever worn a cup, Sam Cat?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But
why,
you know what?
Why would you not? Why would you have one that you were not aware of?
That's the joke. I don't know. I feel like my life is young. Get back to me next year. Who knows? 33 could be weird.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
33. It's a weird year.
I think I should Nope. Never mind. I'm going to keep that thought inside my head. Can't say I have. Thank you for asking me.
Juggling dad life with playing soccer. Any other challenges? Or is it just like, man, you got a rock star of a wife at home?
Well, that certainly helps. Yeah. That helps. I'm just going to call her Sam Cat too. It feels natural this
Thank
point.
Thank you.
As Sam Cat previously mentioned, when you're traded or anything like that happens, there's just a lot of behind the scenes work that the wife or spouse does that doesn't get noticed. And she's been amazing, you know, always put really, it's crazy. My dreams became her dreams, you know, like ever since we started dating, she knew my goal was World Cup 2022, you know?
Yeah.
And for her to basically try and do everything in her power to make that possible. And like that became her dream. And that was like really touching for me to know that we really are in this together.
So
and
cool.
It's definitely a sacrifice for her to give up teaching or whatever it is that she wanted to pursue to like be at home and help with us. So she's been great. Baby's happy, healthy. There's definitely a lot more responsibility. You lose a little bit of the selfishness that, you know, sometimes you want to be able to dictate your schedule a little bit more. And you just got to say no to things and be around and be considerate of, you know, what your family needs. Mm. And so that's a little less time maybe on the golf course.
Yeah.
A little less time out with friends, or it's, you just have to plan it a little bit better, you know?
Right.
That's not my strength. Organization, planning, not very good at it.
Unless it's fantasy football.
Unless it's fantasy football. That's what all the memes are saying, you know? Yeah. Sally, she actually sent me yesterday one that was like, you know, behind the scenes, it was from a movie or something. Everyone like preparing the boards, like men are never prepared as they are. They can't plan anything in the day unless it's fantasy football. So I got to get better at scheduling. That's how I get more things done now. But yeah, I mean, I would not be able to do anything if she wasn't such a rock star.
So. How did you guys meet?
We met in college. We met freshman year. I guess I saw her for the first time at like the orientation, like president's picnic.
So like, right.
I mean,
college.
Yeah, we were. You know, we had to all shave our heads as freshmen on the soccer team.
All right.
More little, frowned upon.
A little hazing.
Point. Yeah.
Never hurt anybody.
Never hurt anyone. Well, well, I can't say that. Shaving someone's head as the punishment never hurt anyone. So we're all just like a bunch of freshmen, shaved heads, soccer team. And I see Sally walk by. I'm like, yo, like, who's that girl in the polka dot dress? Like, she looks super cute. Whatever. Don't end up meeting her that day. She was sitting like couple seats down. I was a little nervous, whatever. And then over the course of the next like couple weeks, months, I ended up getting introduced to her from another soccer player who was in her class. We walked by them on the way to class, and he introduced us. And she was like, "Oh, you play on the soccer team? Like, you're the guy who wears the headband, right?" Because I was like, shaved head guy still wearing a headband in college. That's so stupid. So you're the one with the headband, right? I'm like, yeah. I appreciate the support, you know, something so lame. And yeah, you know, obviously ran into each other a little bit. And then November of our freshman year, was studying for an exam with someone. I was like, hey, tell me what you know about Sally Tucker. Like, she seems great. He's like, oh my gosh, that's like one of my best friends. So from that study session, we walked to her dorm room, knocked on the door, November 9th. We hung out like every day since that day while I was at school.
Damn.
Yeah, because we just like hit it off. And honestly, we were friends for a couple months, like 3 months of just like friends, got to know each other like truly at that friendship level. And then dated for, you know, the end of that spring and in the fall. And then I left and we were long distance for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Rest is history. Two kids and like 12 years later.
And now you got a full head of hair, long hair.
Yeah.
Didn't you start that in Nashville?
I did. Yeah. That was a COVID decision.
Really?
Just kind of like,
that's your thing now. I feel like
it has become more of a trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was better. She accepted this a lot better than when I shaved my head. I was in LA and I was like, I just need a reset, you know, like, let me just shave my head. She's like, please do not shave your head. Like, you look so bad with a shaved head, whatever. And I'm like, I got to do it. And I came back home like randomly after training. I'd gone straight to get my hair cut, walk in the door, shaved head. She's like putting my dishes in the kitchen, looks up at me, starts bawling.
Stop it.
Bawling. And I'm like, whoops, man. Well, I got to do it. Like, I had to do it. I'm sorry. Like, I just need this. That weekend, go and score 2 goals and like feeling a lot better about myself.
Yeah. I'm like, right. You want to have those 2 goals with the hair.
Exactly. So that's always funny. So I don't know if I can shave it again.
Yeah.
Especially going from long hair to shaved. But I would say she's tolerating the long hair. Definitely more than the bald head.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to take extra care of that, though. You got to do the conditioning thing. You got to do everything.
I mean, I don't really know how to use conditioner, to be honest.
I think it's the same as shampoo.
No, I think it's not.
It's not.
Yeah,
you
got to
let it sit for like a minute or two, right?
No.
Okay. See, what I've learned.
Apparently, I don't either.
I don't do it. But apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, you're supposed to do like the bottom halves.
Yes.
He's saying you only condition
your ends.
If he doesn't know.
But I don't know why.
Because it you don't need to put the way the conditioner is
built. It makes
it
like feel greasy, right?
Yeah. You don't need that on your roots. You just shampoo your roots to clean your hair. And then you condition to help with the split ends and keep it hydrated.
Interesting.
Hydrated. Yeah.
So you don't have like you know, like a piece of hay. You don't want that to look like on the end of your hair.
Yeah.
Huh. I thought you shampoo.
Well, I mean, a lot of guys, it's like 4-in-1, right?
I was going to say they shampoo, like, wash their face.
I got my face
wash
and my conditioner.
It's like toothpaste, conditioner, shampoo.
Let me ask you a question. Do you wash your feet in the shower, or you just let the soap run down and it takes care of it?
No, I wash them. I scrub them.
Bottoms of the feet?
Yeah. With a loofah.
You're a loofah guy.
I'm a big loofah guy. I can only do a loofah.
Dude, I haven't loofahed since like high school. I had one in my house growing up, my parents' house.
Really? You just do a bar?
No, the gel. Like,
but I feel like,
wash.
See, when I do that, I feel like I go through so much gel.
Well, yeah.
All right. But you got a gel sponsorship, Old Spice?
No, just whatever's available, you know? At my house, I think we're actually more healthy, you know? So I think it's like a non-toxic.
You're right.
I think it's called
that's
Native.
Good for the
I think
environment.
It's called Native.
That's what I use.
See? Look. All same right. Cat knows.
I do know. I know hygiene and I know conditioning. I don't know anything about soccer or fantasy football, so I'm glad that I could contribute to something in this conversation today.
That affirms me that what I'm doing is I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got luscious locks. You got to make sure they look good. Because what's the point of having long hair if you look like shit?
Yeah, if you don't take care of it. But that's why I'm glad I haven't been conditioning, because no one likes the, especially on a guy, a long-haired greasy
yes.
is like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's gross.
What are your thoughts on how many times I should be shampooing, though? Because I've heard like you don't want to shampoo
only a few times
day.
A week.
Yeah, 2 to 3. I wash my hair twice a week.
Interesting.
What do you think I should do more if I'm like sweating every day?
I'm a sweaty Betty. And I think you should invest in some dry shampoo.
See, I've never
and
done that either.
Some headbands, some hats, and some different hairstyles.
You think about rocking just the hair down and back with a headband?
No,
don't. Okay,
like, I do that.
I was like, I'm gonna answer that for you.
My hair Trevor like Lawrence. Falls. It like falls into my face. It like it's.
And then
good.
You look. Yeah, no, don't do that. It's definitely like a ponytail
the
headband.
The only
moment.
Thing I like mix up with now is like whether I go like a high bun like this or a low pony.
Both are.
If I wear a hat, like if I'm golfing, I have to wear the bun lower to go through like the little hole in the hat.
Okay. Are you a middle part guy?
I don't part it.
I just part mine back, in the middle. Way back in the day.
What's the longest your hair?
I had it when I played soccer in college. I went through a long hair phase.
Give me a.
Oh yeah, no. Like down past, probably close to my chin.
Like a bob. You had a bob.
I had a bob, and I'm like super blonde too. So it was like bright blonde. But I thought it was cool. So I'm like, I'm like the starting center back for New Hampshire soccer team.
Wow. Something about center back soccer players and long hair.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, there we have it. We've got the hair tips. We got the soccer tips. And most importantly, the fantasy football tips.
Yeah.
I learned a lot today.
You did?
Yeah.
We all learned a little something today.
We did. I learned a lot about conditioner.
There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm happy I showed up. Thank God Sean gave me such a long runway of time to schedule this.
We're happy you're here too, Sam Cat. Mm-hmm. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Walker Zimmerman, thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you soon. Let's go play some golf.
How about I say, see you on the link soon.
Yeah, let's go.
Sounds great.
We'll go out to Gaylord Springs.
Love it. All right.
Team on 3.